Dr. Jen Haley, welcome to The Mountain Life. It's great to have you.
So great to be here again.
Well, we've missed you, and it's always nice to have you back in Park City. Now, you spend your time between Park City and Arizona, which means that you have your practice of skincare in a couple of the driest places in the U.S., which presents a whole range of issues, really.
You know, it does, and it's interesting with everything going on lately, Lynn. I've really expanded my telemedicine practice, and I'm licensed in 11 states, so I've been seeing patients everywhere from California to New York, and it's always interesting to see the variations of things that present, you know, depending on the time of year and the conditions, but dryness in Arizona and Utah is always a challenge.
Right. So telehealth, I've actually had a couple of friends that have been seeing their dermatologists regularly. I suppose a computer camera can, you know, people can show what's going on. Do they just show you, oh, I have this worrisome mole over here on my stomach, or how does that go?
Well, the videos can be quite a challenge because you're seeing a lot of things you don't necessarily want to see. So what we do is I've worked through dermatologists on call for about 6 or 7 years now, and the patient will upload photos. So they upload photos, and if they're sufficient, we can make a diagnosis. You know, you're limited to what they choose to show you and the history that they provide. And, you know, that can kind of formulate a response and a treatment plan, very focused sort of treatment. But sometimes, I mean, there's certain things you cannot do with telemedicine. You can't do a full skin examination because I'm limited to the 5 or 6 spots somebody wants to show me. And, you mm-hmm. know, in my experience, most of the time, what they don't have a concern about is something that is a concern. So there's always going to be the need for an in-person examination, but for cold sores or acne or, you know, dermat or poison ivy or any sort of rash, it works great. And I've been really busy with that. And, you know, some of the COVID skin manifestations have actually presented through the telemedicine before they were even defined. So it's pretty interesting how we can kind of put these things together when we're seeing people all around the country.
So one of the skin manifestations of COVID that I've heard of that's so strange is COVID toes, and I haven't seen pictures of it, but lesions on your toes, and it's typically following or as you're recovering. Is that right?
Not necessarily, because the issue with the COVID toes, and I'll tell you my story with the COVID toes, but the issue with the COVID toes is usually these patients are asymptomatic. We're seeing them in young people under the age of 30, and they're asymptomatic, but they're still very contagious. So since they're asymptomatic, we're not really sure where it occurs in the course. Now, you know, this was a few months ago when we were first defining this and putting it all together, but now we're finding it's later in the course as well. So, because it's damaging the blood vessels. So this virus specifically damages blood vessels. It has a whole cascade of inflammation, and we're seeing damaged blood vessels. So what we're seeing on the skin is also happening to the other organs inside the body.
Oh, goodness. So I'm curious, I'm going to ask you a little bit more about the COVID toes, because actually a young friend of mine who is 25, who does not live in Utah, found that she had COVID toes. She tested negative, but of course now she's so curious about, you know, to get the antibody test to see if indeed she did have it. And as you say now, that, I mean, she was asymptomatic. Well, what do you do then?
Yeah, you know, and that's the challenging question. And we come together, there's a big forum of dermatologists that I belong to. And my first experience was early March. I had a Silicon Valley young 29-year-old who showed me a couple pictures of, it basically looks like bruised toes, or frostbite on the toes is a good way to explain it. It just looks like purple toes, basically. And he had said that he was treated and no response, and maybe it was from running, and it just didn't make sense because it wasn't the longest toe like you would see with running. Right. So I was perplexed, and I went on the forum and we talked about it, and everybody else had come together and we'd seen this. And later it was shown that many of these patients were positive, but the challenge is many of them are negative. when they were tested for active infection. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you look at the graphs, you have to do the testing at the right time. And even then, the sensitivity isn't 100%. So no test is going to be 100% in capturing all of the positive cases. So, you know, I basically said, well, just, you know, self-quarantine, social isolate as much as possible. And that was pretty easy for most people in California and other places at the time. And that was sort of the consensus of what we discussed. No need to go to the hospital and, you know, overwhelm the healthcare workers, as well as potentially infecting other people if you are positive. Mm-hmm. So, and then it just usually resolves in 2 to 3 weeks is what we're finding.
Wow. Wow. Okay. What other skin afflictions have you seen with COVID?
Yeah, so I haven't seen all of them personally, but what I've seen is a lot of purpura or bruised purple areas in the skin, once again showing the inflammation that happens to the blood vessels that damages the skin. And I always, you know, I always look at the skin as just a window to what's going on in the other organs. And, you know, what we're seeing on the skin is also going to be happening to the other organs. In a young person that doesn't have any other comorbidities or other illnesses, basically, you're not going to have any symptoms of heart problems or kidney problems or other organ failure. But in somebody that does have a comorbidity, that's where we're seeing, you know, the inflammatory cascade causing a lot of problems. So the bruise-like spots are big. And then we see blisters as well. And blisters signify cell death. So it's basically cut off of blood supply to the skin and causing a breakdown of the skin where you're seeing some blisters. We call those vesicular-like lesions or erosions, almost like you'd see with a cold sore virus. And then we see just similar rashes to what we see with any virus, just sort of a hive-like or a lace-like pattern to the skin. And 20% of COVID-positive patients are developing skin lesions, which, you know, you'd expect because the skin is the largest organ. It's representing what's going on the inside.
That's really fascinating. I haven't heard this to this extent. And, you know, it just kind of leads us into the conversation that you and I often have, because your approach to dermatology is all about what's going on holistically within your body. And it's very, you know, I think, of course, as you say, the skin is the largest organ, and so often we treat it topically. And that's the sort of course of action, I think, especially for young people who are going through their stage of acne. And certainly we spend thousands of dollars on things to put on the skin topically. But let's move into what are those things? What are the three top things that we can put inside our bodies that are going to have the best showing for our skin?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is interesting to me because I was trained to externally treat people, whether it's lasers or Botox or, you know, fillers or, you know, just sort of treatment approach. And over time, I realized that the people that had the best results were the ones that live the healthiest lifestyle. So for me, I think it's really, really important when you get up in the morning to get outside, do something in nature. There's this connection with nature that's just so significant. Getting your eyes in the sun and starting, I mean, your entire circadian rhythm is started as soon as we see daylight. And the worst thing that we can do is get on the computer first thing in the morning where we're just exposed to blue light and not the entire spectrum of light. So getting outside in nature is so therapeutic and so underrated. And one of the reasons I love Park City so much, because we're so encouraged to do that. It is the lifestyle here. Another thing that's overlooked is meditation. And, you know, meditation can take as short as 10 minutes a day. There are some great apps. I use Headspace. I also have heard of Calm. I haven't used it. And if you're not one to meditate, you could just start with breath work. So just breathing in for 4 and breathing out for 5 is one technique. Or Dr. Andrew Weil has one that I find to be very helpful where you breathe in for 4, hold it for 7, and exhale for 8. And it just recharges the parasympathetic system. So if you find you're shallow breathing and stressed out, the cortisol sends a whole cascade of hormones that can really, really break down the collagen in your skin. cause you to get fat. It's a whole array of things. And then as far as diet's concerned, it's really simple. We pay so much money for, you know, all these quick fixes and these special name diets. And it's really comes down to eat real food, eat organic food, grass-fed meats, if you eat meat, and pasture-raised meats, as well as eggs, and just in a real whole food diet, avoiding processed foods. Sugar is the absolute worst thing for the skin and for the body. I obviously imbibe, but you know, sugar is probably the biggest thing to avoid, as well as processed foods, and just eating real food. It doesn't have to be complicated. And then supplements that reduce inflammation, antioxidants, things like that are very important. There's so many of them. We can definitely highlight, you know, a couple of them if you'd like. But that's kind of how I look at it.
That is so great. And just coincidentally, the next part of the program this morning, I'm going to be speaking with James Nestor, who just wrote a book called Breath. And it's all about breath. So it's great that you say that. And it's interesting that we never think about breath, even though we're doing it constantly all day long, in and out, in and out. And we don't think about it until someone mentions it. And then we feel ourselves taking a big one. So, you know, it's funny because I would have thought that you would say first, oh, take fish oil and collagen. But I never would have expected you to say, go outside, you know, where there are damaging UV rays first in the morning. But, you know, we all have spent, especially if we're working remotely, so much time in front of our computer screens in the last couple of months. I keep looking at myself going, especially, you know, you look at yourself so often now during these Zoom meetings that I just think, oh my goodness, you know, there's been a lot of aging going on in the last couple of months. And then there's the underlying stress of this whole situation and all that. So
well, on the angle and the lighting and the angles all off it.
Lynn. Oh, yes.
No, I mean, it's really interesting what's happened here, because I think simplicity and the simple things in life that we've often overlooked have become so vital and so important. I mean, walking around with these masks, we realize how important the ability to breathe a full breath of fresh air is. And doing it in the morning is really essential, just to, you know, our pineal gland is just going to set the whole circadian rhythm. It has to see that sunlight. And, you know, if you talk to me 3 years ago, I always used to say, you know, if you don't need a flashlight outside, you're getting sun and you need to protect yourself. But I've evolved a little bit in my thoughts. I like to expose what I call the non-high real estate areas of my body. So I don't really like to expose my face and my chest and my neck to the sun, but I'll expose my back and, you know, maybe my midsection for about 10 or 15 minutes a day. There's something different about natural sunlight on our skin versus a supplement. And I do both, and I recommend both, but it's almost a craving that I feel many people have had just being isolated and inside, that really supports immune health and well-being and mental well-being, getting those vitamin D levels up.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Jen, because it seems like about 8 years ago, we heard about vitamin D deficiency. We're all walking around deficient in vitamin D. And of course, when we cover up and put so much sunscreen on, we're not getting the vitamin D at the levels that we ought to. And it seemed as though the discussion around vitamin D is that it's sort of the root of all of our disease and all that, if we're deficient. And has that changed at all? Because I don't seem to hear about it a lot. I mean, of course, vitamin D is always important, but I'm not hearing as much about it.
Yeah, I think that has been discounted a little bit. Our society loves to point to one thing as a hero or an enemy. Yeah. And our bodies just don't work that way. I mean, our bodies are meant to cycle. You know, you cycle what you eat depending on the season. You cycle your skincare depending on the season, what your skin needs, what your hormone levels are. And also vitamin D levels are meant to cycle a little bit as well. And more isn't better. There's really a happy medium, you know, of having your blood tested. I like to keep it under 80. I don't believe 30 is right. I believe like 50 to 80 is the sweet spot. And getting sunlight alone doesn't always work, because as we get older, we don't convert sunlight into vitamin D levels in our body as well. Some people also don't absorb it taken by a pill. And we're talking about D3 as the supplement. You don't want to take D2. You want to take D3 as a supplement. I typically recommend 5,000 a day just for the average person with a fatty meal because it's a fat-soluble vitamin, so it's absorbed better. But, you know, I think we were just seeing such an increase in skin cancers that we went from one extreme of, you know, don't go in the sun at all. And it's, then we saw all these other things from, you know, mental depression to bone problems to cancer. And, you know, there's correlations that we see, and it's hard to prove causation a lot of times. But we do see correlations. So I just put it into one of the many things that I recommend for people.
Okay, that's nice. So let's talk about collagen, because I have read, you can get anything to support your own theory about these things, of course, but it seems, our collagen breaks down as we age. So wouldn't it just seem to work if you put the supplement in your body? Are there things that we could do to make collagen as a supplement more effective in sort of, you know, bringing it to our skin and those wrinkles that we, don't like so much?
Of course, it would be easy to just take collagen and it goes to where it needs to magically go, but it doesn't really work that way. There's some controversy, of course, as there is with everything, and you can find, one argument or the other. The best studies have shown that collagen helps increase the hydration or the amount of water that can be held in the skin, which obviously is really important here because most of the wrinkles and the dullness and the dryness that we see is just our constant fighting with Mother Nature, pulling it out of our skin, in the low humidity of the mountains here. I do take it. At the very least, I'm getting some protein. So I like collagen. I think it helps, with hydration. It can help. We really don't know long-term. There are people actively doing studies on this. And the biggest thing is you want to get bovine collagen that's grass-fed, because if you don't, you're getting so many negative things. Traditionally, conventionally raised beef, because it does come from an animal source. It's not a magic bullet. I would say that the more magic things that you can do to protect your collagen is protect your skin, your face, and your neck, the areas that are most sensitive and most exposed to UV light. And I use sunscreen, but I also wear a hat because I think that physical protection works a lot better than just slapping on some sunscreen. We're just not perfect. We don't do it properly. And it's, the face masks are really helping with this as well. And then also stress, going back to the breath work and the meditation. And I didn't know that was your guess, by the way. So that's kind of cool that, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Stress is really important to control and manage and be in the present moment and, realize that it's not worth being concerned about things that are beyond our control. Right? Mm-hmm. So, we only can control what is in front of us at this time. And we have a choice on how we respond to things. And when we do stress, it sets off this cortisol, which really just damages. I mean, it wreaks havoc on the entire hormonal cascade in our body. And you can tell when someone's gone through a significant stressor when you haven't seen them in a year. You can see it in their face. It looks weathered. So stress is really important. And then going back to sugar. So high sugar levels in the body bind to the collagen and make it super, super stiff. And when the collagen and elastic fibers are super stiff, they don't bounce back. They don't have the ability to support the skin like it needs to be supported. And then consuming all the amazing foods in the world and the supplements that are, being extracted from some of these foods to help reduce inflammation and support cellular renewal is super important.
Oh, I really love to hear what you're saying. How about fish oil? It's interesting with fish oil because, fish has mercury and fish oils can go rancid, and you hear, one person promoting their product, talking about all the other bad fish oils and why you shouldn't buy those. And it's just, well, as with most of these things, it's baffling and really confusing. But fish oil to me seems like something that would be really good for your skin to take as a supplement.
I agree. It's good for your skin. It's good for your brain. You know, we lived for 20 years that I call it the snack well generation, where we were so anti-fat, and everything I learned in nutrition as an undergrad is completely wrong. I do recommend fish oil, but you know, going back to all the concerns, it's really, where is it sourced from? So there's a couple companies, and I know they carry one of them at Alpine Apothecary, which we've talked about before because I was there yesterday. I like a company called Pure Encapsulations. It's very clean. It's just very clean. And there's another one called Thorn. And I like their fish oil. It's cold pressed. It's, you know, low mercury or no mercury, you know, they do all the important distillation processes to make sure that you're not getting mercury, you know, that's going to be harmful with, you know, the benefits that you want to achieve. And the fish oil is very anti-inflammatory. So I do recommend it for all of my rosacea patients, all of my acne patients, and also for my eczema patients to help support the balance in the skin. So many people with acne don't want to do anything with oil. But the problem with acne is that you have too many inflammatory omega-6 oils. So you basically want to add more of the good oil, the good fat, the omega-3 fats, so that you can reduce the inflammation and support holding on to water so that you're not dealing with constant dryness and flaking and redness. And that's where fish oil really, really plays a good role. For people that are worried about it being rancid, I think they're probably not taking it properly because it shouldn't be. And if they do have concerns, they could put it in the freezer. Sometimes people will experience that fish oil burp right away. And I recommend putting in the freezer because it's bypassed the stomach by the time it, you know, thaws out typically. So that's one way to get over that, is just take it frozen.
What a great tip. I have that whenever I take fish oil. I go, ugh. But I had no idea if you froze it that it would bypass the stomach. Wonderful tip. Okay, so I'm just about out of time, but I'm curious because I have heard people talk about, you know, skin issues because we are wearing the masks. So whether it's, you know, over your nose where the little piece of metal runs, if you're wearing like a surgical mask, or just being, you know, having part of your skin and clothes that you're not used to, what can we do about that? Because as we know, wearing a mask is the way that we're all going to really keep safe.
I know. We're calling this maskne. So we love having these little names for things. We sound fancy. Yeah, I mean, any time, and I've seen this in athletes over the years, you know, cyclists, you know, on their gluteal crease and, you know, between their legs, and runners, anytime there's friction and there's moisture and there's occlusion, we're going to see problems. So it goes back to just supporting the skin to be healthy by itself. So moisturizing at night, you know, reducing friction and inflammation as much as possible. Unfortunately, we're going to have to be dealing with this a little bit, you know, in order to prevent infection inside our body. But reducing friction, making sure things are properly fitting and they're not moving around, it's really the friction that causes problems. I've worn masks for years doing surgeries and I haven't had a problem. So it's probably, you know, not wearing it properly. And the N95 ones are going to cause a problem no matter what. I mean, in healthcare, they have to be sealed properly and they are going to cause a problem. And we just, when the person's not wearing it, what we're recommending is just complete skin support at night with, you know, barrier creams and ceramides and things that help the skin heal and renew. That's really all we can do. And, you know, the neatest thing is that most of the cures for our body and our skin come from nature. So I was in the Amazon years ago and they pointed out one tree that causes this poison ivy-like reaction. And all the visitors would never avoid it. You know, the locals knew to avoid it. But the remedy was right next door. So all the remedies for all of our issues come from nature. And that's what I find so fascinating. So, you know, we're finding more and more of these things that we can either extract or use from its source to help heal and support the skin to heal itself. Because that's all we're doing, is just supporting the body to heal itself.
Yeah, Oh, I love to hear that. Well, it's wonderful to have you back on the show. Dr. Jennifer Haley is a dermatologist and spending more and more time here in Park City. Is that right?
Oh, yes. This is my heart is here. So.
Oh, excellent. And how can people reach you if they'd like to?
Well, they can check out my website, Dr. Jen Haley at just drjenhaley.com, drjenhaley. I'm on Instagram, although there's a little bit of personal stuff on there. It's kind of fun. I like to drop rocks around town. So if you see fun rocks on the trails, that's me. And that's at Dr. Jen Haley. And then if they want a telemedicine consult through teledermatology, I am licensed in Utah, and that's through Dermatologist on Call.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, Jen, thanks again. Great speaking with you. Have a wonderful rest of your spring and summer.
Thanks, Lynn.